Hello, photography lovers! I cannot wait to share with you this episode. And if you're asking yourself, who am I? Well, I'm Virginia Y, the Fashion Photography Podcast host. And this podcast is brought to you by me and the gorgeous producer of the show, George. So, I'm a fashion advertising photographer, and every Wednesday, I'm meeting with some of the best photographers, models, makeup artists, and so on in the industry. And together, we talk about the little things that might bring your photography to the next level. So one of the things that can definitely do a lot for your photography is light. And that's why in this episode, that is actually part two of my conversation with Amir, is also about lighting tips and tricks, his little secrets that he's going to share with us today. And if you're wondering where to find part one of this interview, it's of course on photographypodcast.net. There are some other topics that we're discussing today, like, for example, how to prep before a photo shoot with a model, the balance between showing your face and your work on social media. But I don't want to keep you waiting. I just want to start a podcast because it's just so, so good. Why did you pick Moscow? You know English very well, so why did you decide to go to a country where you're not even aware of the language?
My mom and my dad used to study in the USSR when it was like in the 1993 and something like this. And they got married in St. Petersburg. So they kind of met and they got married here. Yeah. And when the war started, like in the 2010 and 11, a lot of countries closed the
borders.
Yeah. Ability for Syrians to go in, you know. Mm-hmm. I tried to apply to a lot of countries. I even tried to apply for the UK, but they weren't giving Syrian visas at that time, which is still up to our main time till now, it's really hard to get a visa and go out because they think either you're one of being in asylum or you're runaway or something like this. So yeah, a lot of European countries closed the doors. And my dad was like, well, we studied in Russia. We got married in Russia. Why don't you do the same? We love Russia. I was like, okay, why not? And it was actually on the last minute notice because my university in Syria was shut down fully. Mm-hmm. And then in 3 months, my dad was like, pack. After 5 days, you're traveling to Russia. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
What about anything? He's like, everything is here. Just you should leave in 5 days.
Oh, God.
I was serious. I didn't even know Russian, actually.
Man, that was stressful.
I think Russia has influenced a lot in my work. I think because I am here, I became what I am, you know. Mm-hmm. I am not a Russian person. I have this vision. I don't speak. Like, I'm more European to Russia, you know. And even that, I'm an Arab, but I mean, like, my visual content is more European because I was inspired in my childhood by the book France and all this sexiness and naked models and stuff like this. It was always my dream. I really enjoy seeing a model enjoying himself naked, you know, like the way they move and the way that after the photo shoot, she looks at the images and she's like, wow, I like myself here. I want myself, you know. Anyway.
Completely agree with you that your style is not really Russian style. So maybe that is the key. Maybe that is the thing that makes you so sexy for the Russian clients, yeah, right?
I met an editor here who used to be an editor for a big magazine in Russia. And you know what he told me? I asked him, if you knew me for like 5 years, why you never took me to shoot to a magazine, to your magazine? Like, because we know each other. Like, we party mm-hmm. a lot together. And he was like, because you don't have a style. You're like, your work is out of trend. You know, for Russia, this is not the market that you need. And this kind of devastated me. This was like 2 months ago, I think. But anyway.
What?
Yeah,
and
I'm serious.
He said you don't have a style? I completely disagree with this person. Don't know who this is.
No, he's like a really big influence in the Russian industry. He's like one of the main editors of the magazines. But he says that because in Russia, I think nowadays, the trend is more minimal, you know,
yeah.
Like dirty fashion stuff. But I am more into the colorful, sexy, a lot of colors. And, you know, the paint, the image is perfect, you know.
Yeah, you're very commercial.
And they want something trashy. They want something like not this style. So I totally understand him. And I understand that you will not all the editors or the people or whoever works in the industry, you will be there. They will like you. There will be people who will like you. There will be people who will not, because
Of course.
It's a matter of taste. It's a matter of visual content and something like this. So.
It's true. So for how long, how many years you've been a photographer officially?
I think 5.
5 years. Okay. And have you ever felt like you don't have ideas or you should switch things up or maybe your style is a little bit stuck? Have you ever had a feeling like this for the past 5 years?
Yeah, I think I had the idea that my work is stuck. That's why I started doing the decoration, because I wanted to go on the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the time. But I think I got stuck in the moment when I was shooting a lot of studios. So when you look at my work, it's almost like studio, 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 studio.
It and is. I'm not going.
It's because it's cold. Come on. It's 6 months now. Hello.
It's Russia. It's true. Yeah, it's cold.
It's 6 months of snow. Snow, 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 snow. So where you want me to go out?
I don't know how you can stand this simply because you're coming from a quite hot country. Am I right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to survive if I were you. Like, I hate cold.
At the start, I was waiting like 2 pants, 1 underpants, 1 leggings, and a lot of how to call it, like socks and stuff like this, like 2 t-shirts, 1 jacket, 2 hats, something like this. But right now I can wear like a pant with a hole.
Oh,
you know, in the snow.
So you're getting used to it.
Yeah, like come on, it's like almost 8-9 years. Yeah,
it's possible. So okay. So in your portfolio you've got a lot of diversity, just like with the weather in your life. So you've got males, females. You've got older models.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is your vibe right now? If you had to shoot today, what would you choose to shoot?
I even got drag queens.
Okay, awesome. That's so amazing. Okay. So if you had to shoot today, what type of model you would choose?
Any.
Maybe you can gather them all together. Okay.
I don't like to take younger models.
Mm-hmm.
18 is my limit. I don't like baby-faced models, so I'm not into commercial models. If it comes to my work, like the way the vision that I see it, the model should have the sexy look.
Mm-hmm.
I like the strong bone structure. So if I'm choosing a model, she will have or he will have a strong bone structure. They will have the look that is quite sexy. And maybe nowadays I would like to shoot again an old aged model, because this was really inspiring to work with a person who's over 60 or 70 and she looks amazing.
Yeah.
The body on point, the hair, and she's really nice. I wouldn't shoot men, because I think in my visual right now I'm trying to get more women, because a lot of people remember me for naked men. So I want to go out of this. I would like to shoot some beauty with models, with girl models.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Since you have so much experience, do you want to go over the different type of models that you've shot and tell me about the most difficult part so that we can be helpful for the people that are listening and tell them how to prepare for a photo shoot with a certain model? Okay.
Wow. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to, you can start with the difficult parts of shooting a female model.
The difficult parts that I see in both sexes or in the third sex, whatever it is, I think it's really important to look at the features of the model, because sometimes you have a big nose. Sometimes you have a small nose. Sometimes the nose has a bone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the structure of the face, it suits more of soft light more than strong light, because when you have a strong light on the person is fully not seen. So it's really important to me when I'm working with a model, I always check her portfolio, I check her snaps, and I check some Instagram photos. But we all know that Instagram photos get photoshopped anyway.
True.
But you should see them, because you can see other photographers' work who've worked with her before, and you can see how her face changes from one light theme to another. Because, for example, some models, like the model that I just posted yesterday, I had a really hard on light. And she looks amazing because her skin is fully, like, how do you call it, fully toned in one color.
Oh, that's awesome. When
it's really cool. I can tell you the scene later if you want to know. And then when I saw the same model shot by a normal light, which is like a flashlight or something, you know, two light scene or something, her nose looks bigger.
Oh.
So I did this so her nose looks smaller, because if you look at her other photos, her nose is big and it has a bone. So yeah, I worked on this light scene with her because her nose is gone. For example, there's this model that I really liked. But when we chatted, I told her, I like your face, but I want you to be without eyebrows for my photo shoot.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I want you to bleach them. And she was like, okay, I'll do this for you. And I was like, okay.
Really?
And so I bleached. Yeah, because I know her. I saw her face. I saw a lot of images on her face. And I understand that her eyebrows are really thick and black for her face.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her to bleach it. And she bleached it for me.
That's so nice. She has a lot of trust in you.
Yeah. And when I go, so this is the most important part. When I go to see models, I see their faces, I see their noses, I see the bone structure, and I see the other work of other photographers, because it's really important to see. Because I had this problem when I saw a model's portfolio and I was like, wow, she looks amazing. Any light thing will be okay. And I was like telling my art set, like the art light assistant, I'm like, yeah, whatever, she's amazing. But when she comes, you know, the nose is different, the face is different, and I'm like, wow, and this light isn't sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand. So I think you should always have a plan A and plan B of light. This is really important when you're working with a model. And you cannot change the model face in retouch. You know, I don't like this. I'm not a fan of retouching the model's face, like eyes, nose, and something like this. This is what I'm really... When you're preparing to shoot with a male model, I think I will do the same. I will check their face. I will check their portfolio. I will check how they look like, which light themes. But I never really got like really prepared or did something. This is like the most things that I do.
As another photographer, I would totally agree with you. Because whatever the difficulty is on set, you can always talk through stuff. But if you have the wrong light for this face, you cannot change it afterwards.
Nothing. You cannot change nothing and you'll be damned.
Exactly. So talking about light... Do you want to share with us what's your light inspiration? Do you always try to do something else and different? Do you do this on purpose for each and every shoot? Or it's just how you feel on the day of the shoot?
No, I actually have my light theme. I'm really easy on light. So a lot of my photos on my computer, on my Instagram, it's one light theme. So it's like the same light theme. You understand? It's like one light only. I use a really big softbox for my images. When I go for shooting beauty, for example, I have a different light theme. For example, if I'm shooting beauty, which I need really hard light, because I like doing hard light because it blurs the full skin. The full skin, it has one tone.
Yeah.
You understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because light sits fully like the same on the whole skin.
Yeah.
So I use like a really hard on light when I'm shooting accessories with beauties. For example, if you have something that should be shiny, like silver, earrings, something like this. So I use a fully hard light because, first of all, the skin is perfect. Second of all, everything is like giving you, I don't know, a sparkle.
Have you ever been afraid that maybe your different photo shoots are going to look quite the same when you use the same light?
No and yes.
I love this answer.
For example, I had this recent photo shoot for Lucy's magazine. I was just using a different light theme, which was the light was fully over the model, and then there was two light reflecting on her. So this is a different light theme.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, it just depends on the clothes, on what the vibe I'm getting, because I did this my homage for the 60s vibe. And I looked over all the internet images of the 60s style. And I understand that this is impossible. And I was like, how? I was really like, how? How we do this? So I made like two light themes. It was like two lights from the back, one light over the model, and just one softbox over the model.
Awesome.
No, I'm not afraid that my lights will look the same in a lot of my images, because this is my style of shoots, you know? I'm not this photographer who will come to you and put you 5, 6, 10 lights and then the photo will be like, no, I know my light theme. I know that this looks good in my light theme. Like, for example, nudes, enclosed, a little bit of editorial, all of this looks good. Then it has my own spirit, you know, like I have my own style and this is how it is. It's because of my light theme and my retouch. You understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather be more acknowledgeable for knowing this than being a lot of difference and people will be like, who's this? Who said this? This is like my point of view. Though a lot of people say that I should be more open to a lot of light themes, but this is what I like at the moment. And this is what it's me, you know, people see it and they're like, oh, it's shot by Amir. Cool.
At the moment, I love what you said at the moment, because that is one of the topics that we were discussing the other day with our family in the Fashion Photography Podcast. So we were talking exactly about this, how we are growing as people and this is affecting our work one way or another, which is very interesting to me. So today you might like one thing and be like, oh, this other thing is absolutely awful. And in just a year or two, maybe, the other thing is going to be to become something very interesting for you. So you can switch things up in just a second. So what you said right now, this is what you're feeling into. I think this is so important. And you are talking a lot about social media, and I love that because your social media is looking awesome. And what I see a lot on it is that you are doing something similar to what I do. So your feed is dedicated to your work mostly, and your story is dedicated to you as a human being. And of course, with a little bit of backstage, with your life, of course. So tell us about the balance between showing your face and showing your work on social media, because I think this is a very important balance that not everybody understands. And after this, we can talk about the effect on clients, the fact that they're seeing your face.
To be honest, I have 2 Instagrams. I recently made my second Instagram, which is like my private account, which I have like 65 people who are following me, only 65. And they're like my close people. And so there I can post myself whatever I want. It's just because I came into this earlier in 2014 and 15. I used to post myself a lot mixed with my work. So you can see my work, me, or me, then my work. And a lot of clients were like telling me, do you have a website? Or do you have anywhere where you can see your portfolio? And at that time, I didn't get my website. So I was like, no, my portfolio is only Instagram. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were telling me, this is not right because the client doesn't want to see you. They want to see your work. So instead of the client like skipping 1 second to see everything and they're like, oh yeah, he has a nice work, they will be taking 10 minutes to scroll down and to understand, is this you or this is your work? So this is really important. I think it's really important that you will have only Instagram for yourself and only Instagram for your work. Or you can, like, I have a couple of images of me in my feed, but it's like really color picked, style picked, that it fits with the rest.
Yeah, they're very stylish. Mm-hmm.
So you, when you look at them, you're not like, oh, this is him. You're looking and you think that this is my work. So this is really important. As for like the balance, I have 1 full Instagram for my work, 1 full Instagram for myself. This is like, I'm honest about it. Mm-hmm. And for the Insta like stories, you know, I recently in February, my light assistant, she told me like we were in Asia taking, we went there for a client. I had a client shoot there. I was invited to shoot a campaign for an Islamic brand. Mm-hmm. So we flew over there and she was telling me, you know, I don't want to see some gay shit on the stories. I don't want to see this. Like clients and photographers and models follow you because they want to see backstages. They want to see your work. They want to see your light themes. They want to see you, how you're editing. They don't want to see you posting something about LGBTQRSTUWZ, you know? And I think she was right in a moment because a lot of my clients are Russian made. And, you know, Russian people aren't that open about such stuff, true, you know, because I like drag queens. I like trans. I am always with these people. I always post like in the trans day of visibility. I posted 10 different people, which I found on Instagram with this tag. And then I posted, I'm thankful that they can be here. And then on the day of something I post and, you know, day of remembrance, the everything, like I do everything. And she was like, the clients will not be happy with this because they don't want to see this. It's your own personal life. Get yourself an own personal Instagram. Mm-hmm. She said, but just you should be really, really cleaning your Instagram because this is not right. So I think in a point of view, she's right. But again, I was like 2 months not posting anything on stories on my Instagram. And a lot of people started not to watch my stories because it wasn't that interesting as it was. Mm-hmm. But then this is like work-wise. Because, yeah, I had a photo shoot with a drag queen in Russia, which is like a really famous drag queen. This drag queen shot a campaign for Burger King in Russia. Do you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, when I posted her photo shoot after editing, I got called out from a very big shoot. It was like a very big company. It was like 50 headshots. It was like a really good payment. They just said, we will not do this because we don't like what you just posted and we think this is not acceptable.
Oh, my God.
So I got kicked off the shoot. Yeah. So I think it's really important to balance. I think when you are in the USA or in the European country, it's okay to have such stuff in the Insta stories and in your post that it's different because like people will understand. But due to the fact that I am here, I'm getting to filter a little bit my stories, but not a lot, you know, like 10% filtered, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're still feeling kind of good about it.
Yeah, I'm really good about it. I don't feel that I'm repressed. I'm just understanding that this is the environment that I'm living in. Mm-hmm. And in order to be picked up as the talent, I don't want to be picked up because I'm Amer who's doing this and this. I want to be picked up because it's my talent. This is my work and they like what I do. So this has all come together. This is, you got the vision, you got the visual, you got the social media, you got the website, everything together. And then the reputation that people will talk about you. So this is like being a photographer. It's not just being because I can press the button. Hello, everybody can,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
You should be a total connection between all of that. The way you work with your team, the way you use your camera, the way you talk to people, the way you show yourself on social representing is very important. And a lot, you know.
A huge part of your social representation is not just you, but of course your work. And for the complete look of your work, you're probably in the need of retoucher, or maybe you're retouching your own work. So tell us a little bit about this part of the process.
I got a retoucher in 2015. In the start of 2015, we were working together till now. It's like been 5 years. So my retoucher is kind of crazy because she's like 1 month doing everything really fast. And then 1 month she's doing nothing, you know. It's really funny because like usually when I want to connect to her, she's not answering. So I call her boyfriend and then her boyfriend texts to her and then she sends me the images without contacting me.
Oh, God, you know? That's complicated.
Yeah, I think we have something. Maybe she gets period 24 hours. I don't know.
Okay, as long as you find it charming.
Yeah, it's cute. And then I got into an idea of having my own retoucher for my own work for my Instagram, which is like for my own, how do you call it? Making art or something that it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I have one retoucher for this. I have another retoucher who will do my commercial work because sometimes commercial work, you have 2 days and I cannot count on my retoucher who will take 1 month because she's like drinking or she's dancing or whatever she is, you know? So mm-hmm. I got like three different retouchers with three different skin types. Depends on my client's budget. If they want something really flashy and something like this, they go for this one. And then if they want something really cool and natural, they go for this one. And if they want something really fast, they go for this one. Getting a retoucher is very important because as a photographer, you can have everyday job. You cannot go home after a full day job from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. Usually I have such stuff. And then retouch till the midnight and sleep. This is not good for your eyes. You should have a retoucher which you will have a connection. You should have your own vision. You can tell the person, I want this to be natural. I want such light. I want such something. And I want it to be on time. This is the important part. Because I think being a professional photographer, you will not be able to have time. I had a photo shoot. I started at 8 a.m. I finished at 3 a.m. And the next day, how will I have time for retouch?
It's true. Yeah.
So I think it's really important for people to understand that every retoucher is a person who's trained and learned, such as you. I learned how to shoot. I have my eye trained. And so the retoucher also has his eye trained to make a really amazing photo with your work by your trust, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to have a retoucher or a lot of them. It depends on you. I have three.
Yeah. And I want to give you a provoking question. For example, mm-hmm. what do you think would be the one thing that will really throw you off of your comfort zone on a photo shoot?
When the client will scream.
Oh, yeah, that would be awful.
I had a photo shoot with a client. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it. So this friend of mine got me the client, you understand? Okay. And then the friend of mine was between me and the client. So the client wasn't there, but my friend was there. Mm-hmm. So he started flirting with the model on shoot.
Oh, it's a big
And I
motive.
Was like, oh, no, yeah. Bitch, this is not happening on my time. Like I told him, when we finish the photo shoot and get out of the studio, you can do whatever you want. But right now, if you don't respect the models, I'm going to kick you out of the shoot. Mm-hmm. Till I finish shooting and then I'll do what and you'll come back. You'll check the results. That's all. Because they were sitting in bras and they were touching a product. So they have it in their hands and they're almost topless and he can't see anything. And then he was like, would you like to go and dinner with me? And this can throw me off the cliff. This is work. This is a job. This is not a dating site. You know,
yeah.
This pisses me a lot. And then pisses me a lot when the clients tell me, when I paid for you, do this.
Oh.
I can leave on everything. I can just say, okay, I'm going to go. You already paid me. Thank you. My time is done. And I can leave. It's really okay for you to leave if you get verbal abuse from the client. The client should respect you and you should respect the client. If the client wants you to shoot a person under the tree and you think this is bad, you should shoot it under the tree. You should show it to him and tell him, you see, it looks bad. what do you think if we shoot it next to the tree? Then you shoot it next to the tree, and the client will understand that shooting next to the tree is better than under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. But if the client will be verbally abusing me, no, I will pack my stuff and I will be like, thank you, you can find someone else. Bye-bye. That's all.
I love this, because in situations like this, when it's your first one and you don't know how to react, many people are ready to accept this type of behavior.
No, nobody should yell on nobody.
Right. So when they hear that photographers that they admire have been in a similar situation and how they handle it, I think every photographer would be a little bit, will have this type of confirmation that they can also stand for themselves, which I think is very important.
Yeah. And you know, you can, for example, I have my assistant. I had an assistant on one photo shoot. She was sitting. All that she should do was check out that my camera is still connected to the computer because I'm shooting through.
You were thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I told her, just check that the camera doesn't get disconnected and check how the photos are. That's all. You don't do anything. I had the light assistant also, and I had a client.
Yeah.
So I was shooting, and I look around and I see my assistant is texting someone on her phone.
Oh.
Like really, literally, I stopped and I was looking at her for 2 minutes and she was like texting. And I was like, hey, if you have something more important, you can get out. And she was like really shocked. My light assistant was very shocked. The client was very shocked. And I was like, this is work. You leave your phone, you check the computer. That's all. And I really appreciate professionalism on work. So if we are working, I want you to be professional with me because I will be professional with you. This is a really important part of my work.
Mm-hmm.
I came here. I have my time. It's my time. It's my clients. It's someone and someone and someone and someone and someone, you know, studio time also. So I want you to be in this 3 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, really professional with me. If I did anything to hurt you or anything that you don't like, you can come to my face and say, hey, you did this. This is I didn't like. Okay. But I want you to be professional. If your job is to sit next to the camera, you should sit next to the camera. You know what I mean, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I love your approach.
The Asian shoot, I was with my client in Asia, February. We were shooting under like 40 degrees. It was really hot. We were shooting this Asian looks. And I was looking and the makeup artist was doing some gold eyes, which was really not nice. It didn't fit. Like in the photos, it looks really nice. But to me visually, if it was my shoot, I would have changed the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my client, hey, maybe we can try something like this. And you know what the client says? He was like, no, we will keep this. And I was like, okay, thank you. I'm dismissed.
Yeah.
<I'll think.
laughs> As long as the client
and
likes it.
And I like
it,
that
yeah.
My client stepped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
This was really cool. I like this client. And I'm actually traveling to him. If anything will be okay, we'll shoot the next campaign.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I like the fact that my client was like, no, you can just rest.
That's cool, yeah. Well, tell us about this traveling experience, and is there something that we should be aware of before or after the photo shoot, or of course during the photo shoot, when we have to travel somewhere for an assignment?
I've been traveling quite a lot for my like outdoor photo shoots because in Russia it's really cold. September, I was shooting this big bridal campaign for a brand called Nemi Rami Yassin. So I was about working outdoors. I flew to Lebanon in September. I shot Rami Salmon campaign, which is a brand for bridals. And they had like really big dresses, like 65 kg. It weighted. And then, like, it was so hard for the model to move that there were three people holding the model, putting her on one pose. You pose it, you take it, and then she can move. You imagine? Like, this was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think working outdoors, working across the country, you should know that you can have your camera emptied out of charge. So you should always be ready for this. Because I forgot my charger in the place where we shoot it.
Oh, no!
Imagine. Yeah, so we were shooting, like, in this almost house castle, in the, like really far from Lebanon. It was like 150 kilometers. And so I was charging my camera in between. And I forgot my charger there. And the next day I had a next shoot. So I woke up at 9 a.m. running to a place to find a charger. I charged my camera for like 1 hour. Then I went to the second shoot. So you should always be ready that you can lose your charger. You can get the cameras like empty. You can lose a card reader. I think when you're working abroad, it's really important to understand the country's, how do you call it, limits. You know,
mm-hmm.
Because in Russia, you can strip naked on a photo shoot somewhere outdoors. I think also in your country, the same. But in Lebanon, you're not allowed to show, like, for example, elbows, boobs, nothing sexy, you know? You should always look at the other people's work in that country so you can understand the limit. For example, in Vietnam, you cannot show really sexy looks. So you cannot have a model holding her boobs topless. This will not be printed in any magazine. Mm-hmm. So they have like taboo or they have limits. So you should, it's always important wherever you're going to this country, you should understand what is this country's limit and what they are able to do, you know, because some countries are Islam. And for example, in Malaysia, you cannot show elbows, but you can show shoulders, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that.
So like they can wear a crop top Chanel, but they cannot show their elbows, something like this, you know. So every country has its own limit. And I think this is really important to for a photographer to go to a country knowing of what is yes and what is no. Because like, come on, I can shoot anything. And then you go there and you're like, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. You cannot show armpits. You cannot show, you know, you understand, right? This is really important. And the second of all, it's important to have a light equipment that is really easy to go on. So I didn't have any light equipment. I had only one, a reflector and a flash, a fast flash, the one that's on the camera. And it was an outdoor shoot, so I think I didn't need both, and I didn't need them. Mm-hmm. But it's important to think about the location earlier before you step in the new country, because when you're stepping in the new country, you need to know where you can rent, and some of the light rental don't give non-residents. And then you will have to talk to the client. So the client will go and take this. And this is not nice. This is not professional. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You should always think about renting light equipment. For example, if you need softbox, if you need like outdoor lights, if you don't have them in your own collection, because I don't.
Okay. And is the studio that you're shooting in yours or you're also renting it?
When we're shooting in the studio, we have it like in the studio. But when we're shooting outdoors, we rent it. There's a special rental studios in Russia, and they can you can apply even we're not having a Russian passport. You can apply. Mm-hmm. They check out your portfolio, and then they can allow you to rent. You can rent cameras, you can rent lenses, and something. This it's called rental photo. It's really good, actually, rental.
Awesome.
But for example, when I went to Malaysia, I'm telling you about this Islamic designer. We with my light assistant. She was like, well, we will take a reflector and that's all. The sun is good. And I was like, are you sure? This is like a really big campaign, 25 looks and something like this. And he was like, get your light assistant. She was like, just trust me. So we get in the country and then the next day is the photo shoot. We came like 2 days earlier and I was really, really scared. I went to check the location. The location doesn't have a lot of light. With my assistant, we went and saw it. Yeah. And then she was like, and I was like, should we get light? And she was like, maybe if we can. If not, it's okay. We will do it. I'm a, your retoucher does miracle. And then I called the rental in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. I was like, do you guys give rent and how much is the rent? So the rent was like more expensive than here, for example. It was like around 100, 150 bucks for a light. But in Russia, you can get a light for like $50 or $75. So they were like, we can give you, but we need a Malaysian residence. And I was like, I'm not going to call my client to go to get light. You know, this is not professional. So I was like, okay, I went to this shoot and we were using all the reflector and the images looks amazing. I hope you can show this to the people because this is like one of my favorite shoots because it's very not my style. It's very closed. Nothing is seen. It's like total neck to legs fully closed.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite shoots. And we were shooting in a very authentic mosque. In Malaysia. So this is amazing.
So it's Raya's collection, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's Raya. You saw it, right?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It looks very different, but again, it sort of has your sense of style.
Because it's like, hello.
It's yours, right?
Actually, it's kind of sexy in a way, but it's very not like the black shot, the black dress. It was like very sexy to me. I like this, but I like actually to shoot outdoors. It's just due to the fact that I live in such weather, I cannot be able to shoot outdoors all the time. But for example, when I got this offer from Maxim Magazine to shoot a cover for them, we took this red car.
Yes.
And we shot it fully outdoor. This is like my style. This is sexy, naked, and outdoor. And this was actually next to a university. So our team gathered at 5 a.m. so we can do the makeup. So nobody is in the street. And we shot the shoot next to the university.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how can you shoot a half naked model in front of the university? But I guess that's your style.
Yeah, actually, there was the police car came next to us and she was like sitting on the car. And thank God she was dressed. They looked at us and they said, you should go from here. And we were like, yeah, yeah, thank you. And we went. But this was like really next to university. It's one of my favorite shoots. I love such a style.
Do you think you can ever get arrested because you went to shoot something crazy outside?
Of course.
Do you ever get out with the thought of it? Like, oh my God, today we'll be arrested.
We were all of us on that day thinking that we will get arrested. Because it was a really vintage, flashy red car next to a university with five people, and we were shooting. And this actually shoot was only on natural light. I didn't have any light reflection or anything.
It's a lovely photo shoot, and we'll make sure to also involve it in your portfolio.
Thank you.
Preview on photographypodcast.net. I love it. I love it.
Actually, I loved your voice a bit.
Aww. You know what? Even if we got arrested after a photo shoot, you know what's the only bad thing?
Yeah.
Well, the fact that if people are arrested because of crazy photo shoots and because they have been inspired from you to do crazy photo shoots, they won't be allowed to listen to this podcast again in the arrest. So better, better don't go insane, guys. Of course, take healthy risks. However,
not to take it outside, to stay at home.
Yeah, always be ready to listen again to this podcast because it was amazing. And I'm so, so grateful you were with us today because it was a gorgeous conversation.
Thank you so much. I hope that I gave anybody any inspiration or any ideas of how working like this. And I'm really happy that you guys contacted me. I'm very honored to be among with other photographers who did already this podcast. And I think you're doing something really amazing for the industry. Aww. I just hope that I was a part of it.
That was so cool. And of course, you're going to come over again in a year or so, I hope. And maybe until then, you can get arrested in the meantime so that you can share the story afterwards.
I'll go right now, you know, because it's quarantine. So going out, it's already getting arrested.
No. Better stay home. We'll discuss it just as an option to see what we would do in the next podcast. Thank you so much again for being with us today.
Thank you.
Oh, guys, this was awesome. This is so, so gorgeous, right? Don't forget to share this episode with all of your photography friends because more people need to hear it, right? Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. I just want to remind you that you can also find our channel on YouTube, the Fashion Photography Podcast, where you'll be able to listen to some absolutely exclusive episodes where we talk with different photographers about their behind the scenes process. So definitely check out our YouTube channel again, the Fashion Photography Podcast. I hope that you're gonna love it. And of course, you're gonna subscribe to it and like the videos that you've watched so far. Leave us a comment so that we'll know that it's you, of course. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. And I can't wait to see you next Wednesday with a brand new guest.